In English language, they will say, have your seat. I don't know what that means, because if you have your seat, you have to take it. So I would rather say, please be seated. Thank you, everybody. First of all, I just want to say thank you to Pastor Tumut and the pastors of the church for giving me the opportunity to speak today to the congregation, and God bless you all in Jesus' name. I am a believer of the fact that wherever the word of God is spoken, hallelujah, there's something for you to learn. Amen. So do not worry about the fact that you might not know me or you are seeing me on this stage for the first time ever. God will speak to you today, not me, in Jesus' name. So let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. We honor you. We adore you. We magnify your holy name. We pray, Lord, let your name be glorified. Let the name Tommy Day not be honored. Let no name be honored but you, Father. Not the name Avid, not the name Stula, but you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this today, Lord. Thank you for your word. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Let's give it to Jesus one more time. Amen. I'm going to tell you a bit about myself, since a lot of you are seeing me on the stage for the first time. I'm born in Nigeria, and I schooled, and I did my master's, and I've left Nigeria since I was 20, in my 20s. But I was fortunate that I was posted back about 5 years ago to work there. So I never worked. I never did anything back at home until I left. But I had the privilege to be back, and I worked there. And I liked that because I wanted my children also just to experience where I'm from. A lot of you know me with Norway for Jesus. I sing. Yes, I sing a lot. But I preach the word more than I sing, if you don't know. I preach every week. I have an online thing that I just preach the gospel of Jesus to people. Amen. So I've been preaching since I was 10. I was born again at 10 years old. In fact, I used to fast a lot and pray a lot. If you know what fasting is, I would fast nonstop. That when I was growing up in church, they only thought I used to fast. So, and that is me. I believe a lot in prayer. I believe a lot that there's power in prayer. Amen. God can heal anything. I believe in science. I believe in medicine. I believe in doctors. Don't get me wrong. I'm a scientist by my degree, by my brain, everything. But I also believe that God created all these things so that we can use them. Amen. Amen. And where science and medical cannot work, I strongly believe the power of God can work. Amen. I'm a believer of the fact that we have to push. Amen. Have you heard of push? You have to push until something, what? P-U-S-H. You have to press on until something, what? Happens. If you keep quiet, nothing will happen. Amen. But if you speak out, something would happen. I love Norway very well, if you don't know. I've had the privilege to live in several countries in the world. Saudi Arabia, UK, name it, France, name it, US. But I love Norway. It's not perfect, don't get me wrong. There's no perfect place in the world. And I'm not saying it because Norwegians are here. I'm saying it because I've been privileged to live in different places in the world. And the reason why I love Norway is because I love the Vikings. I love their energy. I watch all the Vikings move. Whenever I see Vikings, I'm there. Are we together? And then I always wonder, but when I hear about these Vikings 1,000 years ago and Norway, Norway is very simple now and very, where's that energy? Amen. Amen. I tell my Norwegian friends, I have a lot of them. I did my MBA here in Oslo in BE. We've been here for 18 years. I used to live in Oslo area, and I have a lot of friends there, and so does my children. And I tell my Norwegian friends that I am a descendant of Ragnar Lothbrok. You all know who Ragnar is. No, don't worry about it. Don't worry. We are connected. You know, Ragnar traveled all around the world. There's a way that he had me as a child. Don't worry about all that, but I'm a descendant of Ragnar. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let's go into today. Today I want to talk about speak out. Speak out. That is the topic. Can we have the slide on, please? Speak out. Don't give up. Speak out. You have to speak. I want to talk about the power in speaking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible says when we can testify of what God has done, amen, we shame the devil. If you don't speak out, you cannot nullify what the devil is speaking concerning you. No matter how quiet you are, I love Pastor Anfin. I love his energy. Amen. I'm a person like that. At the same time, I love Dag. You know Dag, Christine's husband. Extremely humble, gentle person. I need to learn from that also. But no matter who you are, you have to what? Speak out. Look at your neighbor or somebody next to you and just say, speak out. Speak out. Say it louder. Don't be quiet. Okay? You can't be silent. I am going to stick to time. I believe in time. I have 30 minutes and I've spent about 6 already. But don't worry. You must learn something today. It is the word of God. It is not my word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to put on today, you're a grandfather, you're a child, you're a mother, you're not a mother, you're a young girl, you're a young boy, you're an old boy, you're a young boy. Whatever you are, you have to speak out. You cannot be quiet anymore. I've been preaching the gospel for so long. We are not in any more challenge in the world as a Christian than this generation. And it's going to get worse. I'm telling you the truth. If my father had me at the age of 50, if my father was alive today, he would pass out. Because he would not even understand what is going on in the world. Are you with me? And it's going to get worse. I'm telling you by the revelation that I have from the Holy Spirit. The situation of Christians in the world is going to get what? Worse. So you have to be ready. Amen. That is why we have to speak out. In every situation you are in, your speaking out encourages you also. If you were in Norway for Jesus, I introduced my wife at the concert and she limped up on the stage. We went to the doctors. We did MIR, we did all, whatever. They could not find what was causing the pain. It's an attack of the devil. When that starts happening, then you know that this is the devil. Hallelujah. But I brought her on the stage because I wanted to testify on that day that the devil has failed. You cannot be quiet when the devil is trying to deal with you. You have to speak out. You have to be outspoken. I have 4 boys. I want a girl, but somebody have told me, some elderly parents who took our children as grandchildren said, don't try again, it will be a boy again, number 5. So I'm not going to try again at my age. But I have 4 boys, and there's a lot of gap between the 3rd and the last one. But if everybody knows my Dara, the last one in this church, you cannot stop him from speaking out. He is going to say that thing 100 times, and I'm not exaggerating. You will be the one to go like, oh, God help me. You know, but the energy that he has in speaking out is the same energy. 6 years old, that he has to speak out is the same energy you and I need to speak out. Amen. So let's look at some of the things in the scriptures of how people spoke out. First of all, I want to read this. There's a story in the book of Acts chapter, if you have your Bible, it's chapter 12. I have it there. You can read it also from Norwegian. I'm going to read it here. I want to thank Stula for helping us here, helping me out here. So I'm going to read from verse 14 to 17. Listen to this. Acts chapter 12. 14 to 17. And when she knew, Peter was in prison, they were praying, the church was praying heavily for him to be released. Hallelujah. Amen. Because Herod had taken Peter into prison, Herod killed James with the sword and found out that the Jews were happy with him, so he now seized Peter and he put Peter in the prison. Acts 12, 14. And when she knew Peter, so when Peter was released by the angels miraculously, Peter came to the house where they were praying, and Peter stood at the door and knocked and said it was Peter. So the young girl that went to the door heard the voice of Peter. That's now from verse 14. And when she knew Peter's voice, the young girl, she opened not the gate, but gladness took over. She ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Now listen to this. Listen to this, verse 15. And they said unto her, you are mad. These are the people that have been what? Praying. And when Peter was released, what did they say? They said to the young girl, the first thing they said to her, they've been praying for God to intervene. God has now performed the miracle. The first thing they could say to the girl was, you are mad. It cannot be Peter at the door. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so, that it was Peter. Then they said, it must be an angel. You have been praying for so long for something to happen, a miracle to happen. Now the miracle is happening. You see, we need to be careful that with our own mouths, we don't nullify what we are actually asking for. Amen. You need to be careful as a Christian. You see, because if you pray and if you speak and if you say everything, you can also cancel it with your own mouth. That is why confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. That is why what you speak unto, you give life with the words that you speak. So I'll go on verse 16. And Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They were surprised. I'm going to stop there. So three things here. They said to this girl, these are the people praying. These are disciples. They said that she's mad. Oh, it's not possible. If it's possible, it will only be what? An angel. And if it's not an angel, and then even when they saw Peter themselves, they were still what? Amazed. Because Herod killed James with the sword. They had given up even though they were praying. But you see, but when you pray, miracles would what? Happen. They prayed so much that the angel miraculously took Peter out of the prison. In fact, if you read that chapter, Peter did not know until he got out of the prison that it was actually a miracle occurring. Peter thought that, even he thought he was dreaming. There is power when we pray. There's power when we speak out. We cannot be quiet. The second thing I want to say here quickly is blind Bartimaeus. And we're not going to read it. But blind Bartimaeus, Jesus and his disciples arrived in Jericho. And when they got there, this is blind man on the street side, was shouting because everybody was shouting the name of Jesus. So he shouted, Jesus, have mercy. Jesus, have mercy on me. And then they told him his voice was too loud to what? They told him to shut up, to keep quiet. What do you think he did? He raised his voice more until Jesus heard him. See, there is no coincidence I tell people in God's dictionary, there's no word called coincidence. These things did not happen like this for just the fun of it. It happened like that so that you and I can learn from it. Amen. Amen. So why did blind Bartimaeus shout louder? Why did the Bible record that he shouted loud, even more louder, so that Jesus could hear him? Because when you speak, in prayer, in request, in whatever you do, when you speak out, God hears you. You cannot be sick and be quiet. Amen. I strongly believe there is no disease that God cannot heal. Look, I have walked into a mortuary before to pray for a dead body. I'm telling you the truth. That is the type of faith God has given me. I believe everything in the world is possible. Amen. If you want to be the next Elon Musk, it is what? Possible. If that is your desire. My desire is for Jesus. Amen. And I believe that a lot of people that don't go to church, that don't know Jesus in this generation, in this country, in this world, can come to know Jesus if you and I was what? Speak out. Amen. So we need to speak. We need to say something. You cannot be quiet. So I've explained to you that by speaking, miracles happen. By speaking, the power of God, there's healing. By speaking in prayer or in any form, things happen. The most important thing I want to leave with you today is that you have to speak out. Romans 10:14. Sorry, I couldn't get this verse out in Norwegian on the scriptures. It says, how then shall they call him in whom they do not believe? And how shall they believe in him of whom they do not have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? What is the work of a preacher? Somebody that what? Speaks. I'm going to challenge you today. This is my message today. I don't care if your grandchildren are not born again. I don't care if your son, your daughter is not born again. You will not be tired speaking to them in Jesus' name. Say amen. Amen. I need the energy. Amen. Amen. I don't care if your sister or your brother is not born again. We have to constantly speak to them. It's because it's by hearing that builds faith. And you have to constantly speak so that faith can be built. Hallelujah. So I'm challenging grandparents. Don't just take your grandchildren to heat and, you know, and fun and, you know, and help them out, you know, to pay school fees. No. Bring them to church. Bring them to Kia. Bring them to Alpha course. Bring them to Norway for Jesus. Bring them. You have to speak out. For those of you young people, your friends that are not born again, they're actually going everywhere. They are out drinking every Friday night, Saturday night. No problem. Okay? But on Sunday, let them know that you are coming to church. Don't be shy about it. Don't be shy about it. Let your colleagues know that you are born again. Amen. Let your colleagues know that you are born again. There's no sin in it. The world today, anyway, is a free world. I must be able to say who I am. And I am a Christian. Amen. When people tell me that they like to be in bars on weekends, and I tell them I like to be in church. And if they want to laugh, I say, I am a church boy. Yeah? There's nothing wrong. It's a free world. So we have to speak. Amen. You have to speak. That is how things will change. Romans 10:10 says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be what? Saved. Now listen to the first sentence there. It says, if you shall confess with your what? It didn't say it with your heart or you keep quiet in your heart. You have to say it out. The spoken word has power. Amen. That is why in the beginning God said. It didn't say God taught. It did not say God had the intention and the word was created. It said what? God said. He spoke the word, which is Jesus, and creation came into existence. So you can't be quiet. When your office is, everybody is using the swear word, the F word. Are you with me? When they are using that, I tell them also, God bless you. Yeah? And they go like, oh yeah, we know you're a Christian. We know you don't like to see it. Sorry about it. I say, well, yeah, sorry also that I'm saying God bless you in the office. Yeah? You have to have the boldness to speak. When you speak, things come into existence. When we were going to do Norway for Jesus, people said to me, how are you going to do it? You're talking about adverts on the buses? You're talking about adverts all around Stavanger? Huh? How are you going to pay for it? I said, I don't know. But what I speak, power comes out into it. We've done the concert now 3 times. Amen. And we will take it higher in Jesus' name. Amen. Until we get to Stavanger City Center. And we shout the name of Jesus, and everybody shall hear it in Jesus' name. You have to speak. You can't be quiet. That is how healing happens. That is how salvation happens. So let me go on. The reasons why we are silent. We are comfortable. And Norway is a very comfortable country, I tell you that. Like I said, I have been to so many countries in my life. You don't have a problem in Norway. The problems you talk about in Norway is no problem. I tell you, there's no problem. In fact, there's no problem. When people say they have depression in Norway, I go like, God have mercy, in Norway. Why would you have depression in Norway? You need to go see people doing hard labor in some countries. I worked in Saudi Arabia when it was 60 degrees Celsius. I'm not exaggerating. And I saw people at 60 degrees Celsius walking in the desert, planting instruments in the desert. I could not, I almost passed out. I had to go back into the cabin and I just fell asleep straight away. So when people in Norway say they're having depression and committing suicide, I said, come on, what is the problem? You have to do something. Comfort takes you away from God. We need to be careful. That is why Jesus said that it is easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a wealthy person to enter into the kingdom of God. Because when you're wealthy, when you're comfortable, you just think, why do we need this Jesus? Leave all those poor people. Let them pray for Jesus. Are we together? Second thing, we are afraid. We don't want our friends in school, our colleagues in the office to say, oh, he's one of those Jesus people. Don't know, he's one of those Jesus people. Yes, I am one of those Jesus people. I don't discriminate about anybody that believes in the Holy Trinity, sincerely. I don't care where you're from, Catholic. I am coming to a Pentecostal church because that is the belief that God has given to me. The request Jesus gave to us all is that we have to be what? Born again. To enter into what? The kingdom of heaven. Don't make the mistake to try and think, oh, you have to look for the right scripture or the right church or the right... No. You have to speak to everybody and make them understand that they have to be born again. That is what gets you into the kingdom of God. Amen. And the third aspect, the world. The pleasures of the world. We're running after 3 jobs, 4 jobs, you know? And the next thing we want to leave aside is, I can't go to church today, I'm too tired. I'll go next week. Why can't you leave that job and say, I'm too tired, and I'll continue the job also next week? Why must it be God that should wait? Amen. God help us all in Jesus' name. Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent takes it by force. I have checked multiple versions of the Bible. Dick's Bible, I have so many Bibles. I've checked them online. When you check this Bible verse, there are 2 words that don't change in the Bible, no matter the version: the violence and the force. Amen. Now, I'm not saying we should become Viking violent, no. But what I'm saying is the energy has to be there. You have to know that you are in a constant battle. Amen. We are in a constant battle. Don't be deceived to think that you are already, the battle is over or the war is over. No, it is on. You have to tell your grandchildren. You have to bring them to church. You have to help them understand why they are Christians. You have to help them understand the difference between evolution and Christianity. You have to teach them. You cannot just leave them. It's not only when they need money. It's not only when they come to your heater and say, fa-fa, mama. No, you have to help them. And for the youths, you have to help your friends. They don't know God. Bring them to Kia. Hallelujah. That was one of the reasons why I worshipped here. I want a place where, because my children then were their teenage ages and they were growing older, and I wanted them to have Christian friends. Yes. It's not only about me. You have to do the right thing for your children and your grandchildren. You can't just leave them at home. Even if they don't want to come, encourage them every Sunday to be here. Even if they say no, never stop doing it. You have to speak out. Hallelujah. Yes. We're in a war. We're in a battle. As long as you can breathe, the battle is on. Amen. So you have to invite everyone to church. You have to talk and pray for your family members. Never get tired. My own immediate brother, I prayed for him for 20 years just for him to be born again. When he became born again, in fact, his own fire was more than me. He now has his own ministry, his own church and all that. Hallelujah. That is what he's called to do. Amen. I was born again before him. I prayed for him for 20 years to be born. He will go to all the parties in the world. He's very tall like my dad and can dance. I can dance for my life, but I can sing. But he can sing, he can dance. And then everybody loved him. The girls, everybody were always loving me. Nobody loved me. I was always in one corner and all that, you know. But today, he's born again. He's on fire. He's preaching the gospel in the remote areas, bringing people to Christ. Never be tired of saying the truth about Jesus, because you are sowing a seed in the lives of your grandchildren, in the lives of your children. You are planting a seed that is going to grow someday, and you are going to see that person born for the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Never be tired. If the person does not come to church today, it's not a reason for you to say, I'm tired of talking to them. I mean, for those of us that are old fathers here, or parents, the mothers, we know the biggest challenge is when they are teenage age, you speak and speak and speak, you seem like a broken record. Hallelujah. It takes the grace of God. It takes the grace of God to just continue. At the stage, I go like, I have four boys. They're very gentle, but they are like me. They know what they want, and they can be very adamant that nothing changes that. At times, I have to pray for God to give me grace. And then I'll go like, is this how I was for my father, truly? But the truth is, I was probably like that also. But we all don't realize it when we are teenagers, that we're just being teenagers. That is, we, that our parents and grandparents, never be quiet. Amen. And talk to and bring your children, like I've said, grandchildren. This is where I'm going to end it. Bring them to church. Amen. Bring them to church. If they're bored here, bring them to programs, then bring them to Norway for Jesus. Let them see how we shout for Jesus and jump up and down for Jesus. Amen. Because in speaking, constant speaking, a seed is sown. The things that I started doing later on in life as a parent were things that I've been told years ago by my parents that I would say, no, 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 no. And then I started realizing that this is how it works. So you cannot, because your children in this generation claim to be atheist or claim to be this or that, and you would also say, I'm not going to speak to them. No, you have to speak to them. Amen. Amen. Don't be tired, please. We are all in it. We are all in it. When I was growing up, they tell you something, you don't do it. You know what will happen. Oh, you... You don't try it twice or three times. You know what would happen. The smack is going to be different. Because that is their understanding. Are we together? Now, in today's age, we understand better that we don't beat our children like that. But that does not mean that we should not constantly what? Advise them and speak to them. Amen. There's healing here today. Because where the power of God is spoken, not by me, not by anybody, there's healing. We're going to rise and we're going to pray. Amen. I want you to speak out. Today you are going to speak out for that person that is not born again. That person you are struggling with, you're going to speak out. That's the first prayer we're going to do. Amen. You're going to rise and we're going to pray for that person that you need to pray for. I don't care if that person is your brother and the person is 70 years old. The Holy Ghost is going to touch him before he dies. Say amen. Amen. I don't care if the person has said, look, I am atheist, I am LGBTQ, I am whatever, I don't want to hear about this Jesus. That person is going to turn and become born again in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You and I cannot be quiet. Because if we're quiet, something else will fill the space. The world is a spiritual world. If something is not filling it, something else will what? Fill it. If you read from Genesis 1:1, verse 2 says that when God created the world, it says the Spirit of God, which is God himself, hovered around all the earth. Something must always fill it. So if you do not let the Holy Ghost fill that space, some other spirit is going to fill the space. So let us rise and let us pray. We're going to take this worship song quickly, and then we're going to pray for our family members. We're going to pray for our brothers, our sisters. We're going to pray for our grandchildren. We're going to pray for everybody where you're going to speak out. I don't care about the person next to you. The person next to you is not going to take you to heaven. Hallelujah. You're standing next to even your wife or your husband. You're all going to be in heaven on your own. Hallelujah. So speak. Vive l'œuvre de vos rêves.